Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles. Always good to have your Bible. Bring your sword. The Word of God. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It will change people's lives. It will set people on new courses. And it will deliver, heal, and redeem life for Christ. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, Philippians chapter 2. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Having this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who also existed in the form of God, did not regard equally with God in all. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have also obeyed, or have always obeyed, do not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. For it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, amongst whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. And you too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Amen. Praise God. I want to speak today about be like Christ. Unity through humility. Wow, that's powerful. To be like Christ. Unity through humility. That's a challenge to each and every one of us, isn't it? We've just heard a testimony of a footballer on all that money. You know, they can be acclaimed by, I don't know how many supporters they've got at a football match, anywhere between 30 odd and 40 odd thousand. They're being acclaimed by all these people And they're lifting up their names, they're calling their names. But the greatest name, the greatest name, the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoiced in that. And you know, it's great that this young man is giving praise to God. He's acknowledging Jesus and then following him through the waters of baptism. What a tremendous testimony. But as you say, the press don't want to show this. No. It's good news. Hey, well, put some on. You know, they are supposed to give us the news. There is good and bad, and there's more good news out there than there is bad news. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. That's some good news. Another one is that Jesus saves. That's good news. Praise God. And so we need to rejoice in those things. So I want to spend some time in Philippians with you today. And it says there in verse 1, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. It says there, consolation. What does consolation mean? It means encouragement. Encouragement. You know, it's good to be encouraged, isn't it? You know what? In life, there are challenges that we each face. In life, there are difficulties and problems. But when somebody comes along and brings a word of encouragement, we become strengthened, don't we? Encouragement is like it's a strengthening. It brings empowering. When someone encourages you, you get empowered. And it's wonderful to feel strong, even when it's tough out there, even when it's difficult and challenging, and somebody brings that word of encouragement to you and it strengthens you. And you think, yes, I'm standing, I'm believing, I'm pressing in, I'm moving forward in God. To comfort someone in love. You know, we know that Tracy, these last few weeks, her mother has gone to be with the Lord. But at the same time, Tracy needs comfort and encouragement in these times of change in her life. Because, you know, many of us would look at our mums as a comfort, a strength and a support to us, an encouragement to us, always being there for us. You know, when we fell down, when we hurt ourselves, when we were hungry, when we were tired, who was it we went to? Mum. When we needed that kind word, who was it that gave us those kind words? It was our mum. And she was acting in that spirit of Jesus Christ. Comfort portrays a coming close to the Lord Jesus. Coming close to God. Where, can you imagine that you haven't got your mum now? I'll tell you what you've got that's even greater. Is you can walk into the presence of God. And you can literally climb upon the knee of God the Father. You can go and sit. You know, let your mind wander a little bit. Let it imagine. You can go and sit on Papa's knee. Father God, the creator of all things, the maker of heaven and earth, and because of Jesus, because of this communion, this sacrifice, this death and this resurrection, the word tells us, come boldly. Come boldly and come and sit on Papa's knee. And I'm not being disrespectful before you for God. Because in the garden, God came looking for Adam and Eve. And he came to find him. I'm not picking you up today because we're back at us. So, I'd love to do, but you see, she's done it again, hasn't she? I've just realised. She's come running. So often when we make a mistake, we run from God instead of running to God. and admitting, I've made my mistakes. I've got it wrong. I've been a fool. But I need your forgiveness. And that forgiveness is love. Isn't it? See? Preacher in the making. That forgiveness is love. Gentleness. Kindness. Do you know God loves us with an everlasting love? And do you know we need to take that love out to the church and take it into the world. We need to show this love to men and women. Love you. I don't know if she does it. The timing is absolutely brilliant. But that's it. Run to the Father. Let him embrace you. Feel his embrace. Listen for his whispers. Come on. God is not always shouting, let me tell you. The Bible tells us it's in that still, small voice when he begins to whisper into our hearts and into our lives. He begins to speak to us in those terms of endearment and love. The Song of Solomon. The bride and the bridegroom. It's a love. It's a relationship. Preparation is a love feast that is to come. The table is just something of the Lord's communion. It's symbolic of the coming love feast that we will all be invited into for eternity. Praise his wonderful name. Let's seek the counsel of God. Let's be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let his presence just come into our lives in a new way. Let the compassion of God begin to flow into each and every one of us as believers. Let him touch us. He wants to shape us, to mold us. He wants us to be that vessel that will carry forth that precious presence of Almighty God. And that when somebody's in need, we simply carry that presence and we just pour it out and they receive it. And it becomes a life-changing, impact. And it's like, I don't know what I did. I don't know how it happened. But it is a miracle. Because what we carry God's miracles. We carry God's presence. And it changes. It changes things. It changes lives. Ministers health and wholeness to people's lives. It changes their mental well-being as well, as we call it today. Christ died for our mental well-being. You don't need a psychiatrist. You need Jesus. Hallelujah. That's who you need, because you need him who is the Prince of Peace. And he brings such a peace into your life in the midst of turmoil and distress. And you hear that voice, be still, be still, and know that I am God, and I've come to bless you, come to touch you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. I come to comfort. What does it mean to comfort? It means to put his, he's come to put his arms around us, to embrace us, to draw us closer to himself. You know, sometimes you have some people who come and give you a hug and you think, if they squeeze me any harder, they're going to suck me into their very presence. You know, I'm like going to just disappear inside. God's that passionate about you. He wants to suck you inside of himself, and you to be inside of him, and him to be inside of you, so that there is no join. There's no, where did God start, where did God finish, or where did God start, where did David start? You know, there's, it's just a complete molding of everything. But everything that we are and everything that we can be is determined upon our relationship with God. Verse 2. Make my joy complete by bringing the same mind, maintaining the same love, maintaining unity in spirit, maintaining the same intent of one purpose. What's the one purpose? What is the one purpose? Give me some answers. What do you think the one purpose might be? Huh? To be more like Jesus, that's one good answer. Give me another one. To show Jesus to the unsaved. Any others? Any others? I won't jump and get scared if you speak to me. Pardon? To praise his mighty name. That's a good one. Yeah. Any others? Unity in Christ. Yeah. To bring glory to his name. Not to our name, but to his name. We're to serve him. Jesus is to be exalted. He's the King, the Son of God, first begotten from the dead, risen, ascended, and glorified. Hallelujah. You know, he's risen. He's not just risen. You know, he's not just, you know, Lazarus was risen, but he wasn't glorified. Right? But Jesus is risen and he is glorified. This is what we have to remember. There was something totally different about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He arose from the grave, victorious over every circumstance, victorious over every sin, victorious over every addiction. That's victorious. I know it is. You're good on your girl. Yes. You see, he's victorious for Victoria. Amen. He's victorious over sin, sickness, addictions. Yeah, I know. And so we have to rejoice in that. That he's victorious. Every addiction, everything that seeks to hold us back from getting us into that close relationship with God the Father. We have to realize that this is God's passion. This is God's heart. He sent Jesus for that very reason, that you and I might know his presence and his power. That you and I might have a relationship. You see, he sent Jesus as a gift. He sent him as a gift. And all you have to do is receive and say, thank you. I've got a gift. And the gift is taken. And we rejoice in the gift that has been given to us. The gift of eternal life. The gift of forgiveness from sin. The gift of being released from all condemnation. That we are brought into eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so for you and for me, we have to have our hearts in one accord. We have to be in one accord. We have to be in fellowship with each other. Not separated from one another, but learn to fellowship. You know, sometimes fellowshipping means that at times we are vulnerable. Vulnerability. But you see, if somebody truly loves you, you can be vulnerable with that person. Because that person will not abuse you. That person will care for you and will recognize your vulnerability. That person will recognize that there's a need in your life, that they, through Jesus Christ, can help, can guide, and direct you. And so fellowship is important. That we come together, we fellowship, and we fellowship in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of the Word of God. You see, it is this Word that keeps us. It's the Word of His presence that cares for us and blesses us and makes us move forward in God. It's powerful. It brings us to a place of victory in Christ Jesus. But you see, our victory, if it was just for ourselves, it would be hollow. Our victory is a victory together in Christ. Our victory is that when we reach out and touch lives and introduce people, our victory is then worth something. Because victory has to affect other people's lives. You see, when a nation is under oppression, like consider World War II, the nations of Europe were under the oppression of the Nazi war machine. But when we got victory, those nations were set free from the oppression, and they rejoiced in the streets and gave thanks, and they even praised God. But they thanked their deliverers. And so for you and I, we are to carry this message. We have a message that Jesus can deliver you. Jesus can set you free. Jesus can release you from your bondages. Jesus can cause you to prosper and to know the hand of God working in your life. But did you notice the word I kept using? Jesus. Jesus. Not Andrew. It's Jesus. It's not me, it's not Grace, it's not David, it's not Ken, it's not Daniel. It is Jesus. And if we do not give Jesus all the praise and all the glory, then we will fall short. We will fall short of the things of God, and the blessings of God will not overtake us, but we shall be destroyed by our own selfishness. We will be destroyed by our own ego. We will be destroyed by our own self-centeredness. You see, Christ did not come to promote your ego. Christ did not come to promote your self-centeredness. He came to deliver you from your ego. He came to deliver you from your self-centeredness, and He came to set you free. You see, sin came in because of ego. Sin came in because of self-centeredness. And so if we want to be free from sin and from the condemnation and the control of it, then we need to let the power and the presence of God break us and loose us the bondages of our ego. And Jesus needs to be first. You know, Paul, I think I quoted it last week and I've got it again. You know, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. My success is resting upon the cross. Any success that I have rests upon the cross of Jesus Christ and on that name that was nailed to that cross. That is where our successes are. Everything else is irrelevant. Everything else doesn't matter. You see, if Christ is not in the center of my life, then I can accumulate a mountain of wealth. And if I get sick from an incurable disease, as far as man's concerned, then what am I going to do with my wealth? Can't take it with me. The Pharaohs thought they could take it with them. They used to bury them with all their wealth. You know, here you go, that's for the afterlife. Well, guess what? 3,000 or 4,000 years later, we found it still buried. They must have forgot to take it with them. Huh? You know, did not anybody sharpen up on this one at all? Heaping to oneself praise, heaping to oneself glory, heaping to oneself riches. And don't get me wrong, you know, I believe God wants you and I to be prosperous, so that in that prosperity that we have, it's not for hoarding, but it's that I see a need. And God speaks and says, there's a need, Andrew. I want you to deal with that, and I want you to bless that person, and I want you to give them the finance that they need for that circumstance. And if I haven't got the money, then how can I do it? We are blessed to be a blessing. Some of you will not have heard this story, but I think it was it's probably the second time we went to the US, and we were at a church and at a conference, and they were talking about building a new complex for the future. This was GC's, and they got vision to build this complex and hotel rooms on the complex, so the conferences, they could help people who couldn't afford to stay in a hotel, so they'd have somewhere to stay, etc. And they got this big vision. And whilst they were sharing this, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to give them $1,000. Well, I'd quit working. I was full-time for God and not on very much money. I don't think we had a credit card in them days. We had a bank account, but I don't know why we had a bank account, because there weren't really much in it, to be honest. And I think it was there just to pay the mortgage. And he's like, okay, God, I said, I'll do it, but as soon as I get home, I'll start to raise the money to send them. And we were there for a few days, and in the meantime, in that same meeting, somebody came up with a folder, basically, you'd probably slide a laptop in it, you know, and came up, unzipped this folder and opened it up, and they brought a gift, and in that folder was $50,000. And you heard some people go, where did he get all that from? And you could hear jealousy rising up and envy. And Bish, as we call him, Bishop Elijah, could see it happening, and he looked at me and he said, Andrew, he said, have you ever held $50,000? I said, no. He said, would you like to? I said, yes, I sure I would. I'd like to hold $50,000. So he said, come on. So I went out and I held this $50,000. I thought, yeah, okay, you know. He was like, yes, so what? It's nothing, is it? What's $50,000 to God? It's absolutely nothing. But then at the same time, I've got this challenge. I've got to raise $1,000. And that is, to me, at that point, is a challenge. Well, whilst we were there over the next 10 days, as on the sort of the day or two before we're about to leave, the senior pastor there took us out for a bite to eat, and he said to me, he said, oh, I've got something for you. I said, oh, what's that? And he pulls out of his pocket an envelope. He said, people have been putting offerings in with your name on it. Like, what? They've been putting gifts into the offering with your name on. I said, oh, okay. So he said to me, here you are. He says, there's $1,000. You know, it's like, okay. So I took it in one hand. I said, thank you very much. And put it in the other hand. I said, here you are. I just got to fulfill a promise that I made to God. And I gave it him back straight away. Before you call, I will answer. God will provide. You see. But God is looking for obedience from us. He's looking for submission. To say that, Lord, all I have and all I am is in your hands. You are my life. You are my all. And I come to you and surrender to you all that I am, all that I might be, O God. You see, our future and our ambitions are all in God. God wants to bless us. God wants to move us forward. So let's have a look at verses 3 and onwards. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, vainglory, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Whoa. You know, I've had people say, yeah. Do you know who I am? Yeah. No. Who are you? You know, buddy. We are nothing in the eyes of God in one sense. We're nothing. It is through Christ that we became something. It is through Christ that we became joint heirs with Christ Jesus. It is through Christ that we became priests unto our living God. It is through Christ that we can call Jesus our brother. It is through Christ. Everything we have, everything we are, comes to us through Christ. So it's important that you lift up each other. It is important. You see, I remember years back we had someone in the church, and a lady, and I got a phone call at the office to start bad mouthing this lady. And I listened for a few minutes, and this person said, "Oh, I've been to your church, and I'm trying to work." I think, who is he? I couldn't. I'm great at faces, hopeless at names at times. So you know, if I just forget your name, I haven't forgotten you. Okay? I mean, when I pray for you guys at home, I don't think of your names. I think where you're sitting. Seriously, I can go down the seats, and you're in that seat. I might not remember your name, but I know your face. I'm praying for you. So, I couldn't remember who this person was. Well, I have no idea who it is. And I said, well, just let me stop you there. I said, I'm not listening, because it was a third-hand conversation they were bringing to me. I said, I'm not prepared to listen to this, but I said, I'll tell you what, let us meet together and go and see that lady together, and we'll talk about it. Next thing, the phone went dead on me. I'm like, what just happened, you know? Well, when I got home, I was telling Grace, and the moment I started to tell Grace, it was like a light came on and I knew who it was. Well, they literally didn't even, they'd been to the church twice, I think. You know, it was the grace of God that kept me from knowing who it was, because you've seen these sort of like cartoon things where you put your hand down the telephone line and the next thing you've got your hand around the neck of the person at the other end, you know. I would have just about necked the person, you know, because it's like, don't do this. It says encourage one another. It says support one another, you know. But at the same time, it's a two-way street. We do this together for each other. You know, we all have our weaknesses, don't we? Hello? Or is it just me? We have our weaknesses. We have our strengths. And so we come together and we work on our weaknesses and we put our strengths together to bring in the vision and the purpose of Jesus Christ on the earth this day. And so it's caring for one another, supporting one another. He died on that cross and he rose again on the third day, and he rose for you and for me. He rose, he made everything available to us through Jesus Christ. And it's time that we worship the Christ and not a ministry. Oh, you know, weren't the worship group great, you know? And the next thing you know, we're bowing down to the worship group. Now, worship is great. We, you know, it's good to worship together, but we don't worship the group. You get churches where the worship leaders become more important than the Word of God. It's wrong. The most important thing is this. This is the bread of life. This word, this Bible, is the bread of life. This will strengthen you. This will take you through challenges. This will take you through the storms of life. This will take you through quiet times. It will take you anywhere and everywhere, knowing that the hand of God is with you. But if you do not know this word, if this word is not in you, this is food. This is food. This gives strength to us, you see. Hallelujah. This is what we need. And As I'm preaching to you now, all my pain's gone. You see? And I know it'll stay like that till, you know, till the anointing subsides. So I tell you, you could be in for a long one today. Glory to God. See, the very presence of Jesus deals with every sickness, every disease. The very presence of a holy God changes our destiny, sets us on a new future, sets us forward to move in the presence and the power of God. You see, I'm not looking for a ministry. I'm looking for the ministries. This is where it's at. One man can't do it. There's only one man could do it all, and that was Jesus. And he did it all on the cross. And the only way we're going to do it like him is to be together as one body. Then we'll be like Jesus. Then we will do it. And so the Word of God wants us to bring our strengths, our talents, our abilities, and we put them together. Our giftings. What are the giftings that God has given to you? Well, you know what? We need to bring all of our giftings, and we need to put them on the altar available for God to use. Make it available. Let God be God. Praying for one another, being kind words for one another, supporting one another. You know, when we read the Word of God, it says, do not look, verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Boy, that goes against today's generation, doesn't it? Huh? That goes against the way society is now. It's all about me and what I need and my needs and what you can give to me and what I can get from you. No, it's not. We follow the example. There was a pattern that was set before us in Jesus Christ. Did Jesus stand there and say, bring all your gifts to me? No. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. I remember one gift he borrowed. he did borrow. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He borrowed them. They only made a basket. When he finished with them, they were 12 baskets. So he only borrowed them, then he increased them. You see, if we will give our gifts, if we will give our talents and surrender them to God, together there will be an abundance at the end. Is that not what the Bible teaches? Is that not what the principles of God are? That God will multiply and use what we have for his blessings, for his purposes, for the interest of others. He says, verse 5, he says, having this attitude in yourself, not in somebody else, you have to have a change, I have to have a change of attitude. It's not about you. Yeah, but I've got needs. I know. Yeah, God knows you've got needs. But he wants to know, what are we focusing on first? Are we focusing on our needs, or are we focusing on him? Who is the great need meter? You see, I could have turned around when God said to me, I want you to give him $1,000, and I could have turned around to God and said, well, wait a minute. I really need somebody to give me $1,000. They've just got 50,000. I need somebody to give me 1,000. I couldn't use 1,000 at home. But all I said was, yes, Lord. And that was it. And then within a few days, there it was. I thought, whoa, there you go. And what did it cost me? All it cost me was obedience. Financially, it didn't cost me a diddly squat. Some people would have had the thousand and think, thank you, Lord, I'll sort it, you know. And look, because the love of money can be the root of all evils, and they'll run off with it and say, I've got $1,000, I'm gone. But guess what? God sees all things. God hears all things. And God is looking today for the church. He's looking for you and for me as an individual. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And as you know, we said earlier, I don't know if we said it last week, but this scripture comes in again. Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. You're going to save mammon? You're going to serve a selfish ego? Are you going to serve your pride? Are you going to serve your arrogance? Or are you going to serve he who is so humble that he humbled himself and allowed himself to be crucified on a cross, and then on that third day rose again victorious? Are you going to humble yourself like the Christ? Are you going to be obedient to the work of Christ in your life? Verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, you know, Jesus could have turned around and said, whoa, wait a minute, you ain't doing this. You know, there's that hymn, he could have called 10,000 angels. It's true. You know, he stopped the winds and the waves. He opened blind eyes. He raised the dead. He fed 5,000 people, and another set, he fed more. There was nothing to stop him saying, I'm not doing this. Nothing to stop him saying, this lot aren't even worth it. He could have said, Father, I am worth much more than these. He's worth much more than you and me. But you know something? God sees the big picture. And when Jesus was there, he saw David. He saw Vida, Herman. He saw Helen, Ken, Charles. He saw you down the corridors of time. And he says, for the joy that was right set before him, you were and are the joy of God. Hallelujah. Look in a mirror. Look in, when you go home, you know, look in a mirror and say, I am the joy of Jesus. It's true. That's what the word says. You are the joy of Jesus. You know, because he looked forward. Because, you know, you and I would look at it and think, who's going to volunteer to come on the altar? Yeah. Abraham. And God says, sacrifice your son. Who's going to volunteer to go and lay on the altar and then let us stick a knife in him? Who's going to volunteer for that? We're all running out the other way. Well, not me, God. No, you don't. No, find somebody else, God. You know, we're all backing up. And Abraham says, I'll do it. And God had to call his name twice to stop him from sticking the knife in. That's how determined he was. He needed God to speak twice to him. He needed God to call his name. Because he was set on a purpose. He was set with a determination. Nothing's going to stop me doing what God has told me to do. And you and I need to get to that point in our own lives where nothing is going to deter me from fulfilling what God has called me in life to be and to do. You see, so often we can get distracted by circumstances around us, circumstances in our lives, things that are going on, and it distracts us from the purpose that we're here for. And we lose our way. Sometimes we get people who come into our life who side us over and stop us fulfilling what God wants us to do. And they paint it in nice pictures. They couch it in nice terms. You see, in this church, we operate with Ephesians 4 and verse 12. That the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. You can stop at that point, can't you? Apostle, the pastor, you know, the prophet. And you can, they've all got titles. read on. He says, they are there for the equipping. Hello? For the equipping of the saints. Who's a saint? Can I see a saint? Is there a saint in the building? Hallelujah. For the saints, for their work in ministry. Hello? Did you hear that? You have a work. You have a work to do. Don't shirk the job. Don't shirk it. Don't avoid it. Because you will never, ever feel fulfilled. Because you won't be fulfilled till you are doing what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is calling you to do. Don't shirk it. Look for the opportunity. Look for the place where God can use you and cause you to know that fulfilling in your life. Share it with the ministers in the church that you're in. Share what God has been doing and what you feel God wants you to do. You know, it's about the body functioning together. I'm predominantly right-handed, you know, most things. I'm dangerous with a hammer in the left hand. I'm bad enough with one in the right hand. Aren't I, Daniel? You know, I once hit this area, this muscle on my thumb twice, straight off, never stopped. Just went bang, bang. And I'm like, then I stopped after two. I don't know why I kept doing it again. I was just going for it. Danny was there, weren't you? And I thought, I need to go to the sink. I need to go and put it in under the cold tap. You know, I went, I put it under that cold tap. The pain was agonizing. Absolutely agonizing. And all of a sudden I thought, I'm going. You know, it was so painful. I thought, I turned the water off. The next thing, I'm sliding down the kitchen units. I'm sat on the floor. And I'm like, oh. Oh. Daniel suddenly realised it had gone quiet. So Daniel comes looking for me. I'm on the floor. What's the matter with you? I was agonising. So if you'd been using the left hand, I don't know what I'd ate. So, you know, we've got giftings and ministries, and we can use these. We have to use them together. Take the strengths and use them for the equipping of the saints. Take the strength and use them to reach out and touch lives out there, to bring deliverance to needs in people out there. Verse 6. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. He wasn't there just bragging about how he was the Son of God. He rarely spoke about it. He humbled himself and he was called the Son of Man. He was the Son of God, but he was born of a virgin. And he took upon himself the title, the position of the Son of Man, the second Adam. Hallelujah. Where the first Adam had failed, Jesus said, we have to do it again. We have to get it right this time, because there are nations, there are billions of people who are yet to be born, who need to know their Heavenly Father. And to be set free from the grip of the addiction of the devil and his destructive ways in their lives. All this can only happen through a unity in Christ, through a humility within our hearts and a passion for souls, and to see the work of God moving forward. And you know, if our nation needs God more now than it's ever needed God before. Absolute desperate needs. But God is looking for men and women to stand in the gap and to be available that they might move forward. Verse 7, he says, but he, Jesus, emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, he became a servant. I've had people say, oh, I'm not doing that job. Really? I've cleaned drains out. I've fixed toilets. Is any job too big, too small to do in service for the kingdom of God? The answer to that one's no if you don't know it. Jesus could have said, do you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. I'm the King of all kings. I'm the Prince of all princes, and you want me to do this? He could have said, find somebody else. Send one of the angels. No. Humbling himself to the work of the cross. Humbling himself to be a bondservant, that being made in the likeness of man, he knew our weaknesses, he knew what our failings would be. And in that humbling of ourselves unto him, and him to God, he showed us a pattern. He showed us the way forward. You know, he said to his disciples, follow me. Does that mean, you know, if Jesus jumped, we all jump? If Jesus kneels down, we all kneel down? No, what he really meant was follow me. He meant, whatever I do, do it. Wherever I go, wherever I send you, follow my example. Follow my principle. Follow my principle. And as you follow my principle, you'll know my hand of blessing on your life. Verse 8, it says, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, there's this humbling and this obedience unto God. And in our humbling and our obedience to God, he says he will exalt us. He will raise us up. He will cover us. You see, we need God's covering over us. It is great to have a joint covering of men and women of spiritual depth and quality. But in the end, it is God who has the final say. We need to hear God speaking to you as an individual. We, each of us, need to be able to recognize the voice of God. My sheep, hear my voice. Some folk might say, well, I've never heard God speak. Well, you need to draw close. You need to quiet a few things down. You need to begin to prepare yourself to say, like Samuel said, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. You know? He had to be instructed. But it didn't take you long before, I've got it. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. He quieted himself. He focused himself. And listened to the Spirit of God speaking, the voice of God. Therefore, God highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name. It's that name, it's that name, it's that name that is so far above all things and beyond all things. It is that name that conquers all things. It is that name that brings victory after victory. It is that name who brings deliverance after deliverance. It is that name who brings healing upon healing. It is that name who is a miracle working God. It is in that mighty name. Somebody said to me yesterday, they love to have a go at me at the bike club now and again, and one guy in particular, he says, you always make a bargain with God. I say, I don't make no bargains with God. It's all in that name. It's all in that name. It's not a bargain. It's a giving from God. God loves to give. He says, pressed down, shaken together, and he's running over. Isn't it? That's what it is, you see. And people think I'm begging God. No, you're not. It is a delight for God to give to his people. Amen. Believe it. Rejoice in it. Accept it. Have an anticipation for it. you don't think it's going to happen, well, you know, you're living in doubt and fear and unbelief. God does not want you to live in doubt, fear and unbelief. He wants you to live by faith. And to live in that faith, to have an active faith of things hoped for. There might be some things that you can't see and understand at the moment. That's okay. That's not an issue. Because we don't always see within the supernatural realm. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus in this word. And we know the presence and the power. And verse 10, I love this bit. And that at that name of Jesus, every knee, not some knees, every knee shall bow. Whether saved, unsaved, whether prime ministers or kings, every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. And every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether they've accepted him or not and asked him into their hearts and lives, there's going to be one day when they stand before that great judgment day, and they're going to have to stand there and say, and receive the judgment and say, yep, Jesus, he was and is that Son of God. But it's too late. Don't leave it to a place where it is too late to acknowledge Jesus. Don't leave it to a place where we forget the Christ and the blessings of the cross. Let's rejoice. Let's move in the anointing that God has for each and every one of us. You know, it says, for those in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, wherever there is put something of life, the very presence of Jesus the Christ will go. And in that presence, there'll be a flow of power, a flow of judgment. You know, judgment has two sides. Has two sides. It's like a football. It has two sides. Football has two sides. Did you know that? An inside and an outside. Judgment has two sides. And so often when you say to people, God's going to judge you. Yeah, he is. There's two sides to his judgment. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Cast this one into outer darkness. Judgment has two sides. And so when you say God's going to judge, it's like, thank God it's going to be God. Because at least I know he's a fair judge. He's a righteous judge. And we know the hand of God on our lives. Verse 11, it says, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. They're going to confess this. That Jesus is Lord, because in that they're giving glory to Almighty God. And we rejoice. And so when we confess Jesus is Lord, we're saying, God Father, Father God, you're glorious. Thank you for Jesus. Every time we whisper the name of Jesus, we're giving thanks to Father God. Because it was Father God that sent Jesus. Father God saw the need. A loving God has sent his only Son to die on a cross for you and for me. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may prove yourself to be blameless, innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. You're called to be a light. A light of purity. A light of holiness. A light with a purpose to set captives free. A light to bring the love of God into people's lives. Don't start grumbling and complaining. The Bible teaches there is no room for moaners and complainers in heaven. So quit your moaning, quit your complaining and start to give thanks. Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Lord, I'm in pain, give thanks. Lord, my back hurts, give thanks. Why? Give thanks. When we focus on God, when we focus on the Word of God, we don't focus on ourselves, and suddenly we find, I'm healed. When did that happen? When you were giving thanks. When you were praising God. When you were rejoicing in His presence. When you were believing that He is the be all, the end all. He is the all in all. For you and for me. There is nothing that has been left undone at the cross. Everything. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, it is finished. In other words, there's nothing else to do. I have now done it all. I have paid the price for all humanity. And from now on, there is a way out. There is a future and a hope in their relationship with my Heavenly Father. And so Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to deliver us. Jesus came to make us whole and cause us to know His presence. And so we need to just focus on those things. Verse 16 says, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory, because I did not turn and run into vain or vain toil. Hold the word. This is our guide. This is our direction. This is our future. This is our purpose. The word of God. Not somebody's opinion. The word of God. If somebody says something to you and it does not line up with this book, reject it. Reject it. They're trying to manipulate us. They're trying to get us to conform to their way of thinking. This book is the ultimate defining line of all things. This is the baseline where everything works and builds up to. This is the highest and the lowest. This is the width and the depth. This is everything. This is Jesus. Amen. Be like Christ. Walk in unity and humility, and know the presence and power of God in your life. Amen. And know the presence of God in your life. And know this, our God loves you with an everlasting love. You are called with a purpose for the work of the kingdom, and God is calling your name. Amen. God is calling your name. Don't hold back. Decide, be determined, press in to the calling, that Christ will be magnified and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's just pray for a moment.